Now, Amanda and Andy Sheldon are going to come and read to us.
Today's reading is from John 4, 5 to 30. In Samaria, he came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the trip, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw some water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to town to buy food. The woman answered, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use." Jesus answered, "If you only knew what God gives and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you life-giving water." "Sir," the woman said, "you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water?" "It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his children and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?" Jesus answered, "Those who drink this water will never thirst again, but those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life." "Sir," the woman said, "give me that water, then I will never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come here to draw water." "Go and call your husband," Jesus told her, "and come back." "I don't have a husband," she answered. Jesus replied, "You are right when you say you don't have a husband. You have been married to five men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth."
"I see you're a prophet, sir," the woman said. "My Samaritan ancestors worshipped God on this mountain. But you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship, but we Jews know whom we worship, because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming, and is already here, when by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit, and only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus answered, "I am he, I who am talking with you." At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went back to the town, and said to the people there, "Come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah?" So they left the town and went to Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Loving God, we want to thank you for your word to us this morning. And Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will speak to us through your word. We pray that you will give us a greater knowledge and understanding of who you are. We pray too that you will soften our hearts and help us to hear the ways that you want to be at work within us, changing us and transforming us and helping us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. There have been a lot of images going around the internet and in newspapers recently asking the question, what is wrong with this picture? Has anyone seen those kind of things going around the internet? Yeah, a few yeses. Now, if you were drawing a picture of the scene that Andy and Amanda read for us, described in John's Gospel, your picture could easily be entitled, "What is wrong with this picture?" Because in Jesus' day, the setting for the conversation was so unusual, it would have been an absolute shock to any observers. So it's important for us to understand why it was so strange in order for us to be able to grasp its implications for us today. Firstly, the conversation that Jesus had was with a woman. Obvious, I know, but at that time, a man would rarely speak to a woman in public, even if he was married to her. Single men would never, never speak to a woman. Secondly, this woman was a Samaritan woman. Now, there was a lot of hostility between Jews and Samaritans, so much so that the route that Jesus was taking between Judea and Galilee was usually avoided. Although that was the quickest route, most Jews would choose to take a longer route via Jericho so that they could avoid the area inhabited by the Samaritans. So to actually speak to a Samaritan, and more than that, to show need and vulnerability by asking for a drink, was quite unheard of. Thirdly, this Samaritan woman was a woman whose moral character was questionable. Now, although that might not be much of a surprise for us, because as we get to know Jesus, we realise he often spent time with people on the edges of society, people who were shunned by the religious authorities. Nevertheless, at the time, this would have been a shock to people who saw him. And it wasn't just the religious people that were avoiding this woman. She was alienated from the rest of her community. John makes a point of telling us that it was about noon when Jesus sat down and the woman came to draw water. Now, generally, most women would go and draw water from a well either in the early morning or at dusk. And the reason for that was so that they could avoid being out in the heat of the day. Yet here we find this woman drawing water in the hottest part of the day. Why was that? Because she was pretty certain that she wouldn't meet anybody else at that time. This appears to have been a regular routine for this woman, so that she could avoid the rest of the women in her community because she didn't like the way they treated her. Now, although seeing the woman at that time would have given Jesus a bit of a hint about her character, we discover later in the conversation that his knowledge of her was far greater. He knew that she had been married 5 times. He knew that she now lived with a man to whom she wasn't married. The rest of her community may have shunned her, but Jesus spoke to her. And through a simple conversation over a drink of water, Jesus revealed to the Samaritan woman that he is the Messiah. In verse 25, we heard the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything." And Jesus answered, "I am he." Now, although the Samaritans had rejected the writings of the prophets and the wisdom literature that we have in our Old Testament, they still followed what we know as the Pentateuch, the first 5 books in the Bible. As such, like the Jews, they were also aware and waiting for the day that God would send his long-promised Redeemer to restore the relationship with God that had been destroyed by sin. Together, they looked forward in hope to that day that Jesus would rescue his people. And here, at this well, the Samaritan woman came face to face with the Messiah. While she'd been focused on physical water, she'd completely misunderstood Jesus' offer of life-giving water. She thought when he offered her life-giving water, it would save her from coming to draw water from the well every day. Then he'd revealed a bit of knowledge about her life, and she realised he was a prophet. But now she discovered he was so much more than a prophet. He was really the Messiah, the one that both the Jews and the Samaritans were waiting for. We heard that when the disciples arrived, The woman went back to her town to tell the people there what happened. I can always picture her as she ran back, replaying those words of the conversation that she had with Jesus. Jesus said, "The water which I will give will become a spring, which will provide life-giving water and eternal life." This wasn't a natural spring, a constant source of fresh, clean water. It was life in the Spirit, cleansed from the effects of sin, restored into the presence of the living God, transformed into the life God originally intended. As John tells us about this encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, a lot of commentators compare it with a different encounter that Jesus had that can be read in the previous chapter. And that was an encounter with a man called Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a religious man, a Pharisee, a man who tried to live his life by the scriptures, but who recognized Jesus to be a rabbi. In many ways, Nicodemus was the total opposite to this woman. He was male, Jewish, and law-abiding. She was female, Samaritan, and with a bit of a moral history. But both of them were equally in need of Jesus and his life-giving water. And no matter what we think about our life today, whether we think we're doing pretty well, we've got everything sorted, whether we feel that everything is crumbling around us, or whether we're somewhere in between, every single one of us is just as much in need of the life-giving water that Jesus offers to us. As we reflect on this story this morning, picture that conversation that the woman had with Jesus. And picture that conversation as it might happen to you. What would Jesus know about your life? As he looks at you, picture that look of love that he gives to you, the kindness and compassion that he speaks to you as he says, "I am he. I am the Messiah." The truth that Jesus is the Messiah changes our lives. As he explained to the woman at the well, his life-giving water provides eternal life. Eternal life. Now, this isn't some kind of anti-aging potion that enables you to live forever. Nor is it those kind of creams you can pick up in John Lewis that they say make you look younger forever. I don't know anything about them, obviously. This is life lived eternally in the presence of the living God and lived eventually in his kingdom where there is no death, no pain, no suffering, but only the good things. Things like love and peace that God wanted for his world and his people. More than that, knowing Jesus as the Messiah changes our present life here and now too. Eternal life begins the minute we choose to accept Jesus. Yes, we do still have to endure pain and suffering and grief, but we never have to face it alone. And Jesus longs for us to live with the presence of his Holy Spirit, bringing comfort and strength to us in the challenges of our daily life. We can live every day in the presence of the living God. Every day in the presence of the living God. Sometimes I think we forget how incredible that really is. Yet as the Samaritan woman was about to discover, the life-giving water that Jesus offers brings a greater transformation than she could ever imagine. Through the work of his Spirit, our lives are transformed. Gradually, over time, and with our willing participation, to bring out the qualities of Jesus, to reveal his characteristics and values, and to allow us to live in ways that honour him. We saw one dramatic change immediately with the Samaritan woman. Having drawn water in the heat of the day to avoid the community that shunned her, suddenly she rushed back to them, gathering them around, engaging with those people who she'd normally have stayed away from, inviting them to come and meet the Messiah. How else her life changed, we don't know. But the fact that Jesus has revealed things about her life and she has recognised him as the Messiah implies to me that she was likely to continue to allow Jesus to challenge her and to change her as she accepted the gift that he offered. But Jesus' gift of life is not just for us alone. He offers life to the whole world. In many ways, the Samaritan woman was different to the people that we meet and mix with who don't yet know Jesus. She was aware of the promise of the Messiah. She was expecting something to happen at some point. Nowadays, people are not so aware. They're not looking for a Messiah. However, in our postmodern culture, many people are actually much more open to spirituality than they ever used to be. Postmodern communities recognise that the answers to life's great challenges and problems do not lie within the grasp of human beings as individuals. You may have noticed there is a far greater interest in the paranormal, as well as people experimenting with Eastern mystic techniques for meditation, reflection, centering. There's a sense that there is a purpose and a meaning to life that can't be discovered within ourselves. There's something out there beyond us. The sad thing is that in their search, most people wouldn't think twice about entering a church. Church is so often seen as irrelevant to life today, and certainly not seen as somewhere where you might find the answers to life's big questions or experience the supernatural. But as we begin to understand the questions and the concerns that are often felt by people in our culture, so we can engage with them in a relevant way where they are, without them having to come here into church, we can share Jesus in a relevant way with them. We can also learn some skills in how to do this as we look at the way that Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman. We've already noted there's lots of reasons why that conversation should never have taken place because of the expectations of certain behaviour at the time. Jesus was prepared to cross those boundaries of culture and gender and speak to someone who, for a whole host of reasons, he was expected to stay away from. More than that, in his conversation, he never looked down upon the woman. He never treated her disrespectfully. On the contrary, he approached her from a point of vulnerability. He declared he needed a drink. He requested her help. And having engaged her in conversation, Jesus used the water, which was their common ground, as a way to speak to her about eternal life. Now, at first she didn't understand what he was saying, but Jesus continued to speak in ways that were relevant to her in order to draw her in and help her to hear the gospel. And although eventually he revealed his knowledge of her lifestyle, still he spoke sensitively and with compassion towards her. As we seek, as a church community, to make a difference wherever we are, I wonder who are the people that, for whatever reason, we may be expected not to engage with. Are you prepared to take a risk like Jesus did in crossing boundaries in order to share the good news? And whoever we speak to, is it worth considering? What are the things we have in common? What are the everyday things around us that we can use as tools to help us to share his love? It's important to make sure that we don't use church language, terms that are meaningless to people outside of church, but we use familiar terms in order to speak relevantly to people that we meet with. As we get alongside others, as we listen to their stories, we may well be aware of the search that they have for answers of spiritual experience. And this will give us a fantastic opportunity to share our own personal experience of Jesus and to enable them to hear of the new life that he offers to them too. Jesus the Messiah offers new life to every single one of us. And if we choose to receive that gift, then our lives will be transformed by the power of his Spirit. Like the Samaritan woman, I hope we will be keen to share this gift with those around us that don't yet know Jesus. But the transformation that takes place impacts our life in far more ways than just the way that we witness and engage with those outside of the church. It impacts our behaviour, our attitudes, our motivations, as little by little we allow his Spirit to enable us to reflect the values and characteristics of Jesus. It impacts our relationships with those who do know Jesus just as much as with those who don't. You know, sometimes I think we can have higher expectations of those who are Christians than those who aren't. We expect more of the way they relate to others. Maybe we assume that because we're all being transformed to be like Jesus, that actually they should be exactly like us. They should share the same opinions. They should do things the way that we would do it. They should be there to help us in ways that we expect. But that's not the case. Jesus wants us, Jesus expects us to live together in unity, but not in uniformity. Even though we're each being transformed, we've still got different characteristics, different strengths, different personality types, which God uses to bring about his kingdom. More than that, every single one of us is in need of the transformation that Jesus brings, which means we're all a work in progress. And maybe our imperfections wind other Christians up in the way that sometimes their imperfections frustrate us. So this morning, as we think about reaching out to others with the life-giving water of Jesus, including those who are not like us, may I also encourage you to allow that life-giving water to refresh you, to cleanse you, to transform you, and to enable you to stand in love with others who are also learning to follow Jesus as we let him bring his transformation to us all. Let's pause and allow God's Spirit to continue to speak to us in the silence, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you love each one of us exactly the same. That there's nothing that we can do to make you love us more. That you look at each one of us with kindness and compassion and want to draw us into your kingdom and into your family. Lord, I pray for each of us. For those of us where this morning's message has helped us to recognise we haven't recognised you as the Messiah. Help us to have the courage to step forward and to allow you into our lives, to welcome you as Saviour and Lord, and to welcome the transformation that you offer to each one of us. Lord, for each of us, may we always be aware that we are a work in progress, that your Spirit is transforming us. And help us to allow your Spirit to continue to work within us. And may we also have sensitivity as we listen to others who don't yet know you. Give us the opportunity to share our story. Help us to make it relevant so that others can also receive this wonderful gift of new life in you. In Jesus' name, amen.